Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. And today is January the 25th, 2017. Just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show today. And we have a live show for you. It is Wise Wednesday, and Brother Davis will definitely be here for today's show. And today's show with Brother Davis is going to be The Power of Collaboration. So looking forward to today's show, as always looking forward to Wise Wednesdays to hear from the great, our brother, Brother Davis, and for King Davis to come and join us today. So with that being said, we would definitely jump into that after we take care of some of the business we need to take care of and jump into what's in the news, then we'll jump right into Wise Wednesday. First, let's talk about how you can support Black Talk Radio Network. Very easily, you can go to Black Talk Radio Network. Can go to the website, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, and on the far right-hand side, you will see the donation prompt that's there in green with the holding hands. You can hit that, and it will prompt you to give some of your financial energy to maintain this overall direction of this network, so that it can continue to bring you what you have come to value so much. Very, very important. Give what it is that you can. Give some of your energy. Take this as part of your responsibility or as part of your building effort for our overall, for you individually, for our family, and for our overall community at large. So definitely support Black Talk Radio Network by giving some of your financial energy. Also, Black Talk Radio Network has established a social media network where you can engage in all of your social media activities without having to worry about being adversely affected by what you post, what your comments are, or anything of that nature, nor do you have to worry about someone selling your identity to someone else. And there was a very, very important article that goes right along with it. You just need to read between the lines on everything, and it tells you, you know, pretty much what was going on. We're going to take a look at that really, really quickly here on Tando Radio Show. So while we're doing that, I'm going to pull that article up so you can see what I'm talking about. But BTR community is right under the donation prompt on the far right-hand side on the website for Black Talk Radio Network. You'll see the B there. Or you can go to www.btrcommunity.com. And you can follow the prompts there. It's only $24 a year for membership, and then you could post, you know, things that you think are relevant and important. You could also highlight yourself, your business, or some events that you think have some relative importance to that needs to be talked about and gain exposure. So you can do that there at BTR Community. I would definitely say be a part of something that was created for you, okay? Without something that's going to be adversely affecting you the way the mainstream media programs do. So definitely engage in that. So let me pull up this one article. Okay. So also, everyone, if you would like to engage in saving real money, and you can do that by going to Prosperity Mint. That's ProsperityMint. Prosperity Mint. And you can check out what's in inventory. There's a whole lot more that's in inventory. They're going to actually expand. There's going to be more indigenous representation that's going to be there, which I absolutely love. Looking forward to that. And there's just going to be some real good beneficial things that's going to come around in 2017 at Prosperity Mint. So definitely, I always say that the wage of a king or lady, or excuse me, the wage of a king and a queen is gold. The wage of a lady and a gentleman is silver. And the wage of a slave is debt. They pay everyone a slave's wage because that's what they think of, and that's how they have this overall economic structure set forth. And you can really see it in the true, sense. And when you really look at it from a standpoint of which is real intention, you will see that everyone that you know and I know is paid a slave's wage, and it steals the overall energy of people. So definitely engage in that. Go to Prosperity Mint. But before you purchase there, make sure you email wolf6pack1@gmail.com. And just let them know that you're looking to purchase some precious metals. Someone will get in contact with you to make sure that you are actually purchasing the correct thing, okay? Excuse me. And they will also make sure that you are purchasing properly and make sure you understand what's really going on. So, all right, because there is something that you do need to know about. All right, so definitely check that out. Okay, so let's jump into what's in the news. Now, one of the things that we're talking about BTR Community, there was an article that I posted there, that's posted there inside of BTR Community, the only place that I post. And it is the first one that's what's in the news, is that there's an article from WND.com. And the article is moving a little slow for me. Says Secret Service agent suggests she wouldn't take the bullet for Trump. Good article. Check out, read it. And then, but there's something in here that goes right along with why it was important for us to establish and get away from the mainstream media and to get away from FedBook and Twitter and all of that other stuff, because they're doing nothing more than data mining you. But it's doing a whole lot more. But in this article, and I need to dart going, I wish I had a highlighter so I could go right to different things. All right, in this article, the Secret Service agent, and she's the head of the Denver Secret Service Division. She's the special agent in charge at the United States Secret Service Denver District. And in this, what was very keen and very important, it says that in the article, it says that the Secret Service discouraged, and so many, because I can't find it right away and my computer's moving a little slow. So I'm going to just give you a synopsis of what it said. Ready? And this is what they was basically saying. The Secret Service was basically telling their agents, do not engage in social media. Let me see. And they were telling them, don't do it. And the reason why they were telling them to do it is because you're being mined, being data mined. It compromises your personal information. It compromises you as a person, and it can be used again. And see, you would think that they were saying that from the standpoint of because of who she is. That is part and parcel, but in actuality, every person is data mined from social media. And man, where is this? Let me see if I can find it. Here it is. Okay, here we go. It is unclear whether the Secret Service explicitly bans agents and their employees from engaging in political speech on social media, or has a written rule prohibiting it. They don't know. The examiner reported, but in operational security, training instructors have long warned agents, or would be, oh man, it would do that to me, or would-be agents against the use of social media because it can be used, it can make them vulnerable to threats by exposing their personal information and their movement, according to two knowledgeable sources. So wait a minute. It's more than just because of their job description. But here's the key to it. But in operational security training, instructors have long warned agents or would-be agents against the use of social media because it can make them vulnerable to threats by exposing their personal information and their movement. That's not only true for because of their job descriptions, that's true of every single person that uses FedBook and tweaking like a bird. Chirping like a bird. Tweeting like a bird. Telling everything. Because that's where your information, you're totally compromised personally. And most people say, well, I don't care, I have fun on it. That's what the system always does. It makes some form of comfortability, makes it fun and everything else to get what they need and what they want at the overall expense of you and your family. Sometimes just because you could doesn't mean you should. So this is just another example that reading between the lines, they're telling you that that's why that whole thing was put together and put into existence. They're data mining you. So very, very important. But check out this article. It speaks to that and to some other things. And in my opinion, it speaks to overall the future setup of what's to come. And believe me, they're going to continue to play and create the rules of engagement that best serves them, even if they have to sacrifice people. They don't mind because they figure that it is a practice of their power. In order for them to maintain, in order for the system to maintain power, it needs to have sacrifice of blood. It needs to have carnage. And believe me, they look at the general population as their overall slaves, and the tools, the human resources to be used as leveraging for control and power. Very, and subjugation and enslavement. So check out that article. Next article. This one comes from RT. Duarte accuses the Roman Catholic Church, and let me just pull this article up because it didn't. And this one is from RT, RussiaToday.com. This comes from RT.com. The president of the Philippines accused the Roman Catholic Church, and it says accuses the Roman Catholic Church of being full of manure. The president of the Philippines, and listen to what he said. The president of the Philippines has unleashed his colorful word wrath on the Catholic Church again, saying the organization is corrupt, full of boo-boo, and accuses priests of sexual abuse. Duarte on Tuesday accused the church and its bishops and priests of corruption, womanizing, and said he was abused by a priest as a student while at a university. He also said three cabinet secretaries had been molested, speaking to the families of special action forces who died in the Philippines. Now, let me stop there. He's given these personal accounts of his overall relationship with the Roman Catholic Church. And this isn't anything that's new, but see, this is the thing that's a problem. This should be something that motivates you to wake up to the lies and the deception that's there. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I went to Catholic school as a child. And while I was there, they didn't like me at all because I just would not play by the rules. One, I wasn't Catholic. Two, I didn't play by their rules, and I thought it was kind of, you know, their idol worship just killed me, and I wasn't receptive to it. And I had a friend that was there, and my friend was telling me that he didn't like the way that the priest was touching him and everything else. So I know from personal experience that went on there. And I don't care who you are, and you're going to blindly defend this. The truth of everything stands on itself. These people aren't lying. These people are telling the truth. And what is it that we're doing about it as the overall people? Why aren't we looking at things for what they truly are? Nothing against the people that happen to be Catholic. But if you're upholding what the illness that they're profaning, then you are just as ill as them. Because you know. And there is no excuse, and there is no immunity for the moral debasement that goes on and has been going on there for centuries. One of the keystone representations and figures in the overall enslavement of the whole world. And then they're going to tell you something about some moral obligation that you should have to them in their doctrine. So don't be mad at Duarte. Don't be mad at, because what he's talking about is personal experience. And before you jump on him, you don't know what the extent of his relationship is. And for him to say that says a couple of things. One, it may be a part of the agenda, but this is one thing I do know, is that what he's saying, the probability of it being true is higher than anything that the Roman Catholic Church as the organization would say in response to that, other than admitting, yes, and we've been doing this and other things forever. They make it so funny. They have you to confess to them as man. Man, where's our head at?
Dave.
So, just... Yeah, I heard someone... I can't see the board because I'm on a different page. Is someone there like to say something?
Yeah, you actually... This is Scotty. You actually dropped off the board because I was trying to get your attention in the chat. But if I may, because this is a story I have been following and actually was going to make a video about, not this particular story, but to do an update on the mass murder of these so-called alleged drug dealers and drug addicts. Mm-hmm. that he has been doing. Over 6,000 people, and I suspect it's more mm-hmm. than that, have been killed short 6 months that he's been in power. So, that may be true. What the Catholic Church has admitted to covering up, you know, this sexual abuse, systemic sexual abuse of children. That's no secret to anyone. But he's only bringing it up as a deflection of the Catholic Church or nuns and other members of the church in the Philippines calling him out to stop murdering people in the streets over drugs. Now he's mm-hmm. bringing this up. So I'm not taking away from whether something happened to him personally or if it happened to the people in his cabinet. So I would say this, then why aren't you dragging priests out in the street and gunning them down?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Why aren't you doing that?
Exactly. Oh, go ahead, Scotty. Finish up. Yeah.
And then also, like I was going to point out in another video, anybody who has seen any kind of pornography at any time in their life, or those who consume that. Y'all know that a lot of pornography is made in the Philippines, exploiting those women, and it's mostly white men going over there just debasing their daughters. But I don't see him going to the hotels where these videos are being made, dragging these men out and gunning them down for defiling the daughters of the Philippines. So this guy right here, man, is a hypocrite. And all he's doing is engaging in deflection. But I mean, I feel very strongly about this issue, because if a person wants to use their free will to smoke crack, shoot up heroin, long as they're not imposing that on someone else, then who am I to drag them out the house and murder them for what they're doing? All right, so I just find this guy full of hypocrisy. Now, he talking about he hurt by the Catholic Church being molested and all of that. Then why ain't you dragging out the priest then? I'm sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
No. You're absolutely right, Scott, because that's what this system brings about. That's exactly what it brings about. And one of the things that I've learned through my history is that hurt children and grow up to be angry adults. And this is a perpetual motion, and this is what the system teaches people. They hurt you, so now you can find something that you don't like and do the exact same, and everything is cool. You're absolutely right. And this is why this whole system is the real problem. It's the root of the problem. It is the foundation of it all. And I couldn't agree with you even more. And because of what happened to him, he should be an advocate for the true living and not to victimize anyone. That should be your cause. But it doesn't work that way, because the system actually wants him to be the way that he is, because they benefit from it all. They're going to totally get rid of Duarte, but the system will remain in place until we get rid of the system. And that's going to be our cause. That should be who we are. And I don't mean by getting rid of the system in the way in which the system has developed many to think. I don't think it's necessary for us to use the same consciousness. See, he's using the same consciousness that caused the problem. What we should do is that we should develop our own solutions and walk away and take away the overall authority and the power that this system has by no longer giving it energy. Ah, this is where you start to make meaningful gains. And this is what Scotty's talking about. If you felt this way and you went through this, then why are you doing this? It almost nullifies what you've gone through in your life, because you've become that and more. This is why I always say you can never become what you had to endure, else you'll be doing just these things. So, well said. No, Scotty, is very true, because I'm telling you, this is a precedent-setting thing that's going to continue to go on. And guess what? It is making room for that to be the overall, because the system wants that to be the way in which, and the policy and the procedures to deal with what you deem as your unwanted. They're going to do this, and watch, it's going to move towards homeless people, it's going to do this towards these people and that people, and the system continues to regenerate itself and live. So very, very important. So this is why I put it here, because I think it's very, very important that we know what's going on in the world so that we can see just how deep these lies and this deception are. Okay, next article. This one comes from Acting Man. India on a downward spiral. India's prime minister announced on the 8th. Check out this, but just check out this article. It's getting worse. We're probably, I don't know if we're going to make this one on Financial Friday, but I'm not quite sure. Next article comes from Sovereign Man. U.S. dollar is now overvalued against almost every currency in the world. So check out that one. Next article from Sputnik News. Mexico vows to stop negotiations with the United States unless Trump gives up on the border wall. So check out that. Mexico will not conduct any negotiations with the United States unless celebrity figurehead President Donald Trump abandons his plans to make Mexico finance the construction of border wall between the two countries, Mexico economists said on Tuesday. So check out that article. Next article. I knew this was going to come back, and it's going to come back much more vigilant, and it's going to be bigger. Protesters vow to battle Trump's poor decision to revive the pipeline. Tribal leaders protesting the construction of controversial North Dakota pipeline vowed on Tuesday to fight against the United States celebrity figurehead President Donald Trump in order to revive the $3.8 billion project, calling the decision a bad move. This is going to be a crazy, crazy thing as it goes. And I kind of knew this was going to come back. Many of you that's been following here on Tando, you knew it was going to be coming back, and it's a lot of things are really going to grow. And this is the destabilization of what you know as what has been told to us as the United States is in full effect. And there's going to be something relatively small that goes huge and starts the whole unraveling of everything. And this may be just one of the things that's going to lead and foster with other things that's going to cause some great displacement. Next article comes from Bloomberg, and I'm in full support of, just from the last article, I'm in full support of the tribal leaders and the people that are saying no to this pipeline. Next article comes from Bloomberg, and it came up that the Dow reached 20,000 for the first time in its history. And my commentary is that the casino is packed and all of the lights are on. This casino is packed with all of the lights. And, man, it's only going to continue. So that's what, check out that article as things start to continue to position itself for the things that are going to be adversely affecting everyone here. So today's show on Wise Wednesday, Brother Davis is going to be talking about the power of collaboration. And let me just see if I think I got kicked out. I'm back there. Oh, Brother Davis is there. So we're going to be turning it over. We don't have a break, and we have a break at the top of the hour. So, Brother Davis, you have like 30 minutes before you have a break. So whenever you're ready, Brother Davis, you can jump in, and we can get going with Wise Wednesday with Brother Davis and Team Davis. So he's just waiting on Brother Davis to unmute his phone, and as soon as he's ready, he'll jump in. So I would definitely say, everyone, check out the articles and be ready for anything. So Brother Davis is there. Brother Davis, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Good evening, my brother. It's always good to hear the voice of a friend.
Always good to hear the voice of a friend.
Well, good evening, brothers and sisters, and I hope you're prepared tonight. I hope you're prepared tonight for the show on alliances, building alliances, and the importance of it. But before we go there, I thought it would be a nice caveat to give you a cultural taste of the foundation of, should I say, the nature of who we are as people from a parable of the Assyrian belief system out of Egypt. And this is a unique parable, and this goes right along the lines of the show. So this is called the first parable. Now, there is an interesting background behind the first parable, but I really will not go into that because literally it will take you another place. I want to focus on alliances, and in doing so, you will get a clear understanding from the parable. Okay, now the parable, it was once upon a time two mothers. One was a mother vulture, and one was a mother wildcat. And they lived close in the neighborhood. The vulture flies the skies, it could see far, and the wildcat prowled the ground and had his territory intact. But they both were in the same territory. Well, one season, the wildcat had 4 kittens. She was proud of them. But in that same season, in the uniqueness of time, the vulture had 4 chicks. Now, this presented a very, very awkward situation, because the mother vulture and the mother wildcat had a big problem. Their children were hungry, and the two mothers were both afraid to leave them alone because they feared that the other would then come and eat them and kill their children for food. So the mothers arranged a truce, and between them, they swore an oath. They swore that neither one would hurt the other's children. So now, both felt secure enough to go out and start hunting for food for their children. For some time, this truce worked very well. And soon, the vulture's chicks and the kittens began to grow. One day, one of the vulture's chicks went into the area of the kitten, and they were playing. He snatched away a portion of their food, and one of the kittens reached out and swatted the chick, injuring it, and told it to find its own food. The chicks could not fly, so this presented another problem. But he had enough strength to tell the kitten, "You have broken the oath between our families, and you will be punished for this unjust." Now, I was going to stop there so I could give you a little more insight, but let's follow along and see what happens. Well, when the mother vulture returned, she noticed that her chick was lying on the ground. She figured out the wildcat had broken the truce, and the next time that the wildcat left to go hunting, the mother vulture killed all of her kittens and brought them back to her nest for food. When the mother wildcat returned, she was so hurt. She realized that the vulture had killed her kittens. So she cried out, hopelessly, bound by a circumstance that she thought that she had remedied in an alliance with the vulture. You see, evil that was done was not perceived as evil, but it had broken the earth. And since it had broken the oath, neither of the principals, the mother, discussed it with each other at a point in which they could find clarity as to what happened. Okay? So, at this point, all of the wildcat wanted was transgression. So the next day, when the mother vulture went out hunting, she came upon a campfire where there was a portion of meat, and the meat was cooking, and she flew around the circle several times, swooping down and looking and swooping back up, trying to lure whoever was cooking out, and no one came out. So since she hadn't noticed anyone, she swooped down, snatched the meat off the fire, and flew it back to her nest. And upon arriving at her nest, she was so full of joy because she knew she had fresh meat for her children. She dropped it in her nest, and she jumped off the edge to the side, and the children started eating. But little did she know that there was a smoldering piece of coal attached to the meat, and the nest caught fire, and the 3 chickens were burnt to death. Noticing this, the wildcat mother yelled out, "You killed my children. Now you have been punched." Now, I'm going to stop there because that parable goes into a number of different things that we do not need to open up unless you're going into a class on that. But I wanted to point out that they had built an alliance. And in building their alliance, there was a securement of that thought process. I don't have to worry about my neighbor because now my neighbor was my friend. And although neither of the mothers really knew what happened, the children did. But that was their great cost. You see, I bring that parable up to let you understand that people do not have to build alliances. See, most alliances are built for organizing power or organizing for change. And the reason why is because you have a greater volume when you deal with change or organizing for power when you have like-minded people. Now, understand with alliances, there is no prerequisite for attachment. And you see, most black people, when you hear them talk about alliances, they say things like, well, you know, I really don't know them. Well, you know, they don't live around here. And you know, what's unique is that sometimes when I see them and walking, and sometimes I see them when they're around, see, these things are all insignificant to the principle that you're trying to achieve. And we was focused on trying to achieve the principle because there are some rough times ahead. And during these rough times, everybody going through them will not look like you. Understand how I said that. Everyone going through them will not look like you. But that doesn't mean that there cannot be an alliance to the same cause. You see, and I'm going to use some things that people can identify with very quickly, all right? I don't know if you know it or not, but Trump just dropped $138 million from the HUD budget. Now, it may not seem to be a lot to those people who understand budgets of large organizations. But those, that part of the budget that they literally written off to fulfill that $138 million reduction will deal with a lot of people who will now have the same problem. Those people you may know or may not know that are on Section 8, they now have a problem. Those people who are in those buyer's programs in which they're getting assistance from the federal government or the state government, they now have a problem. Those people who literally are getting, should I say, EBT transactions for food stamps, they now have a problem. And see, if you're not in one of those categories, you might think, oh, that doesn't bother me. It won't affect me. But it will. And the reason why it will is because now those people in your neighborhood that rely on those services do not have them. So the element of need and the element of survival will clash. Now, what do I mean by the element of need and the element of survival? Well, in the element of need, you may have the ability to meet that need to a certain degree of your own, should I say, skill or mindset, all right? So, you know, well, if I take and going to work every day, if I just take 3% of my paycheck and I save that for the course of 6 months, I would have that amount of resources that I would need to meet the element that I want. In other words, that need that would be fulfilled. Well, someone else may not have that. You see, if someone is in your neighborhood and they're hungry, and we throw, as Americans, we throw away more food than any other country on the planet. If we do not see a way that we can form alliances to help the whole community, we become targets in the community. And a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, their circumstance is not my reality. but it can become your reality. Because if there's someone in our house who feels that they've reached a point in which criminal activity would suffice to meet their need for survival, well, you're absolutely right, it's going to affect your future. One of the biggest things that we fail to realize in living in the urban centers is that we live with the largest group of people in a specific area, meaning it's the largest population in a specific area. Now, that area may be large and it may be small. Perfect example, New York is a very small, small plot of land. And if you ever go there, people are on top of each other. So in an area like that, that situation is magnitude. It's magnified no tenfold than it may be in the area that you live in. Because there are more people condensed in this smaller area. Now, if you live in the Midwest, where you're spread out more, you can incorporate different tools. There are also alliances, okay? You can come together with those people who are, say, they're backyard gardeners. And you could say to them, you know what, you sell your vegetables. And they might say, well, yeah, we go extra, so whatever we go extra, we'll sell. Now, that offers you an opportunity to build an alliance, huh? Because if you have a backyard and you don't know how to garden, you can openly discuss when you purchase the vegetables from the gardener, how to form your yard into a garden. That is called building an alliance, a mutual alliance. Why is it mutual? Because as you come and get the vegetables from the gardener so that you can feed your family, you're literally tapping the gardener's knowledge, and that might be he'll turn you onto a book or two, or he'll turn you on to where he purchased feed, or he'll turn you on to how the solstice and the planting season are working in conjunction, so how you should be able to plan according to how the moon and stars are governing the environment, or what time the sun goes up, goes down. They'll tell you about things like the farmer's almanac. These are tools they use in order to be able to get the most robust and fullness out of the garden. So you see how that becomes an alliance. But in an urban area, where people are used to just running to a grocery store. Grocery store is not there anymore. Why? Because the effects of that so-called bill took such a great toll in that area that literally the store was ravished. And when it was ravished, all of the food was taken. So the store is like, you know what, I got to seriously think, do I want to open up in this area again, or do I try to ride this wave out and open up when jobs come back to the area? See, everything is dependent on something else. And for those of you who don't know this, that you will have greater strength and a louder voice when you build alliances with like-minded people. Not every circumstance is going to be comfortable. And when I say that, I mean a lot of times you may look at somebody and decide you don't like them because of the way they present themselves. But that has nothing to do with the alliance. That's why we must break down these insecurities and build bridges. Because in building bridges, we can get more done. And we can get help before we need it. Let me be clear about that. We can get some help to do the work before we need it. When you don't have the authority to tell somebody what to do, you are not their boss. Then you need them to help you for the very same reason. It makes sense to build support systems amongst like-minded people in a community, that literally, if you do nothing, you're only going to add to, should I say, the sincerity, one, to be determined to go out and do injustice to others to fulfill the need for his own house. are not new concepts by no means. And you know the best part about it is that sometimes it allows you to meet people that you would may ordinarily not have an opportunity to meet under any other circumstance. Absolutely. Do you realize that here in America, there is the most diverse population on any one continent? I mean, for those of you who don't understand, you can go to different parts of a larger city or a larger metropolitan area and just sit at the bus stop, and you can maybe hear 5 to 7 different languages during the course of the time you're there. And you may not understand any of them, but you'll know there's something other than what you speak. And you know what's so unique about that is that if you go to a food bank and you see other people at that food bank, they're there for the same reasons you are. You don't have to be able to speak the language. If a person gets ready to leave and drops their bag and you bend over to help, see, right then, you initiated the building of a bridge. And you see, I'm only giving it to you on that level. And the reason why I'm giving it to you on that level is because that is what you call the human level. Your elevation of building can go from your lower self to your higher self just because you become more aware and more empowered behind what you're doing and what is being done. The purpose behind alliances is so that together we can develop and resolve conflicts and determine alliance building mutual purposeful progress towards a given circumstance. Take, for instance, this new jobs bill that President Trump is talking about. Now, it all sounds gravy, potatoes and gravy. But underlying that jobs bill is his attack on health care. And you know what he always said, well, as soon as I get in office, I'm going to dismantle Obamacare. Well, when he got in office, he realized, well, it's not quite that easy. But now we got this guy, the president now, literally is a Goomba. Now, for those of you who don't know, Goomba is a Italian word for a gangster. And he has this way of going around getting things done the way they do it. With the concept of, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse. And you know what's unique about that is that a lot of times the offer on above board looks real good. But it may only look good from the circumstance you're looking at. And a lot of times, that's acceptable for them. Because guess what? If he comes in with 200, 300,000 jobs in the course of a month for 12, 13 months in a row, he's going to have a serious following. But now, if he's undercutting your health care at the same time, a lot of times that doesn't benefit you because if you have a pre-existing condition, that may be a problem later. Do you see how alliances can come into play for you or against you? But if you prepare yourself properly, you can arm yourself with the information that will make a difference in your circumstance, not only for you, but for those like-minded people like you. And this is the purpose of what we're trying to do tonight. We're going to try to give you the tools to help you put together an alliance for any given circumstance. It's like a how-to manual to support transitioning from your need to what you want. Now, that may not be as easy as it sounds, but it can be done. And we have to open ourselves up to it because we have been programmed with a lot of baggage. You've heard me talk about it many a times, how we've been programmed to be emotional. Well, those people who have identified things that they can do to be able to take control of their emotions back. But there are many who have not. You see, team when I discussed on several occasions about how emotion can get you in trouble because you no longer are in control. The emotion is in control. But what you do is you get that person who is interpreting what they see the power to decide if what they see is right or wrong. Now, give you some quick clarity. Some of the shootings literally that have been done by people with guns, by people who don't have guns, and they're based their decision on their fear. Now, just to give you a quick dynamic, they'd say, well, I afraid for my life, but they had a gun, but the other person didn't have a gun. But society accepts that because of the window of white nationalism. It teaches them that if people of color get emotional, they're out of control. And you know, the sad part about it is that even when you tell a lot of people, do not get emotional, they will try their hardest. But because the programming has been so long and it's so deeply embedded, a lot of them just lose it. We do not have that luxury anymore. So when we build alliances, we have to learn how to talk in reference to our best interests, how to act in reference to our best interests. And, you know, a lot of times we don't even have to say a word for that. Because when you're around like-minded people, they're not feeling indifferent from you. They're there for the same purposes you're there for. So when they see someone invading your purpose for being there, what they're thinking, well, is that going to happen to me? Ergo, the purpose of alliance. I'm trying to be very down to earth with this. That's why I started with the parable to let you understand that a lot of times in your alliance, you may not be what causes the problem. But because of a lack of communication, the problem potential still exists. So as we focus on the next stage of putting together the building blocks in place, I want you to see yourself in a given situation that deals with your life. And I want you to ask yourself, can I improve what I'm trying to do, or am I being victimized by what I'm trying to do, or am I doing the best I can? But see, sometimes we think we're doing the best we can, but in reality, we could do better. Why? Because we're examining just what our thought process is. Does that work for me? That to my advantage? You see, a lot of times we're not in the circumstance as much as we examine the circumstance. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. My number is 866-510-9025. And I'm bringing to you a show about alliances and alliance building. These are going to be tools that we were going to have to be able to step up, motivate, and perpetuate to the advantage of our purpose. And your purpose may be many and it may be few, but we want to be able to be human to each other. And I know sometimes when you think about that, there's a whole lot of inhuman behavior going on from one man to another man. Why? Because that is the program. You have to understand, in chaos, those who have intentions that may not have anything to do with the chaos can bring civility with a plan based upon what they're intending. And before you know it, those people in chaos will be civil enough to cooperate with that plan with almost no effort at all. You know why? Because the person with the ability to bring civility is going to step out of that circumstance to the chaos, reaches a point in which they are not coming in until they can perceive their total control in that circumstance. And believe me, this is happening right now. And if you don't believe it, I can give you a quick one off the top of my head. How many of you remember the pipeline from the Indian setting? How many of you remember when President Barack Obama said, we're going to alter the route? Well, guess what? The route has not been altered. Guess what? The pipeline is being laid as we speak. And guess what? Now, those people who came in here with private forces have given an authority that force does not have a right to have. But how they get around that is they go out and they hire police department personnel to work as their enforcement to sustain the degradation of our land. And you will start hearing about incidents. Those incidents will involve the death of people in the way. Oh, they were in the way of the crane. Oh, well, that group was doing someplace they shouldn't have been. Alliance is a great tool, and we got to learn to use this tool because we are now looked upon as the chicks and the kitten and the parable. We can make this work, but we can be victimized by what is coming. And it is coming. So, my brothers and sisters, Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday, and I'm going to tell you, I'm feeling good today because I do believe that if no one has ever been in a situation where they want to build alliance, by the end of this show, they're going to understand to identify what those situations are and have the ability to speak out without looking for those people who they can build alliances with. And remember, anytime you build an alliance with somebody, they know somebody else. And this is how alliances grow. This is how people interact with people. And see, we have to learn to use the tools of technology in order to help us in this circumstance, but we must be careful because guess what? Those are the keyholes of the keepers. Understand how I said that now? When I was young, the keyhole used to be able to look in through and see what's going on in the next room. That's what these things do. So we have to be very careful about how we set up our alliances, the purpose of our alliances, and whom we involve in our alliances. Because not everybody who talks like you has your intent in their mind. Some of them have been planted. And I'm quite sure you've heard about that many a times. Our history has spoken about those people who look like us, who literally foiled the process or the projects that we were doing based on two pieces of silver. All right, this is Brother Davis and Wise Wednesdays, and I'm going to tell you, it's a little rainy where I'm at up here, but it's all right because I'm stable and I'm situated and I ain't going nowhere. And I got all my tools in front of me so that I can help you become better at achieving the things that you need in diverse circumstances with the help of other like-minded humans. Because believe it or like it or not, we are all in the same boat. Those people who think they are not are only kidding themselves. And if you don't think that they're in the same boat, ask them what they do physically that is different from what you do physically when it comes to nature. And you're going to find that you do the same thing. This is Brother Davis. We'll be back after the break, and I'm looking forward to opening the door to building alliances amongst ourselves. Brother Scotty, is this break time or...
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Are we back? Okay. This is Brother Davis coming at you. Now, I want you to understand that there are tools out here that you can literally buy. There's books. In my research, I found out The Essentials of Transition Planning. It's a good book, 5 stars on Amazon. And then there's the effective assessment to determine the readiness in structure. And that's also on Amazon. And these books literally go into detail in reference to talking about areas of specialty. And areas of specialty may be human, they may be mechanical, they may be workplace. You see, all these things work to your advantage. Okay? You've heard me say before that a lot of times, if you are a small engine mechanic and you need food and you want to go to a garden, and you can bargain. That's called bargaining. Okay? But it's also building an alliance. Because now this person is taking your service, and in return, they're paying you back in food. It's a mutual agreement. And the reason why a mutual agreement is because you two, or you three, or you four have come together and said, you know what, I have a need for your service or your purpose, and this is what I have to offer, and I was wondering if you have any interest in it. And they look and they say, well, yeah, you know, I could use that. I mean, my wife likes to cook, and we like to get things as fresh as we can. So if you want to do some trade, we can work something out. You see, one of the major tools of building alliances is your ability to articulate your view in minimal amount of words as possible. Now, why do I say the minimal amount of words as possible? Because you're about expressing your idea. And in you expressing your idea, you also get right to the purpose behind your idea. And you don't have to go to a this great big facade. And the reason why is because, literally, you want to maximize his time, and you should want him to want to maximize yours, or her. You know, it doesn't make a difference. And a lot of times people start to realize that being humans, the only thing that stops us is us. And we have a lot of blockages, us people as people of color, we have a lot of blockages. Because I'm going to tell you, I have Asian friends, and they're just like us. I mean, they hang in their family circles like they do, like we do. They speak their cultural tongue. Unfortunately, we can't speak a cultural tongue because of our history, but that is vastly changing. And they also eat foods that are that reflect their backgrounds, okay? If you notice, a lot of Spanish people are the same way. They might have quirks that we may deem a little different, but they serve their purpose. And the best part about serving their purpose is that if you really want to know the truth, you can open that conversation up as you build your relationship. You see, one of the things about people is that in America, you are programmed to disconnect. And that's really very simple the way it's done. You see, they put you in certain areas to live. And then, if you want to live in other areas, they look at your ability to emulate them. And if you emulate them well, there's a chance that you have some of the things in common with them. But what if you don't want to emulate them? What if you just want to build an alliance with them so that they have those that have the same needs as you can build a greater voice or a larger number by coming in alliance? And they know that. And guess what? You'll be surprised that some people who may be vehemently against who you are as a culture will never let you know for that alliance. Because you do the same thing. The alliance becomes more important. And once the alliance becomes important, you may be able to break down those walls and build bridges. What is unique about that is because now you begin to open up to somebody from a different culture that you can ask a question that you may not have had an opportunity to ask before. Now, I'm going to tell you a little personal experience of mine. I was the first African-American at Milton Hershey School. So as I was down there and I was being educated. I built relationships with white friends, and we talked about a lot of things. I asked them a lot of things. One of the things I remember very vaguely in my mind is one day I was called to sit. I didn't know what it was. I got in a fight behind that. And then when I spoke about it to a guy named Richard Laws, who's another white guy who I knew down there, who we managed to become very good friends over the years, he said, "Man, a zit is a pimple." I said, "A pimple?" I said, "Well, why would he call me that?" He said, "It's just slang, but it's white slang. You wouldn't know." But see, because the administrators understood your lack of knowledge in that area, that's why they said, "Listen, let's talk." Because see, they was also telling me that, and I didn't know it at this time, they were also telling me that there's a lot of slangs that we may use that they may not know. But the reason why I wasn't using them was because, like I said, I was emulating my environment. And the best part about that was I did build some good relationships that are strong today. Some I can understand, some of them I can't understand. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the reason being is because they served my purpose, I served their purpose, and we were able to build alliances on those purposes. And one of the main things you have to also understand is this. You do not have to build a friendship connection. It's good if you can, but that's not a prerequisite. Prerequisite is the alliance for the purpose. And as long as you're true to that purpose, such as the wildcat and the vulture, your alliance can be principled enough to work. Now, all alliances can become victimized by an outside party. And our federal government has liked no alliances. Corporations, they don't want any alliance. And the reason why they don't want any alliances is because you might find like-minded people who does not like their product for the same reason. So what do I mean by that? Say you take for something very popular, Tide laundry detergent. Okay? Now, say this person has sensitive skin, and when they use Tide, it causes them the rash. Well, that might be because there is a drug within the Tide that literally affects their skin differently than someone else's skin. And they come to you and they say, "You know, has this ever happened to your community?" And you sit back and you think, "Well, you know, I don't recall ever something like that happened. But I could understand that happened. But let's look and see what the ingredients are in the product so we can see if there are any adverse side effects." You see, now you are literally building a alliance based on a point of interest in breaking down the aspects of this point of interest to see if there's an ill effect on the people who are using it, because if that's the case, that might be the source of why that person gets a rash. Well, corporations don't want that, because if you start talking about different ingredients that they have in there, there's certain things they don't want you to know that's in there. And the reason why they don't want you to know what's in there is because they know to a certain portion of people who use their product, this is a side effect. Are they going to tell you that? No, they're not. But I've seen people build alliances and literally have products taken off the shelf. And see, we have to literally begin to see everything that we do on a daily basis, and especially we consume. Because I've been telling you about food and that sort of thing for the longest time, but I didn't tell you the dynamic connection. What is the dynamic connection? In an average soda, there might be 15 or 20 different ingredients. Okay? In the average McDonald's French fries, there's 201. There's 101 ingredients. That's right, in a McDonald's French fry. So if you consume both, there is a chemical transaction that's taking place in your body without you have any knowledge of, that may give you a physical side effect. That physical side effect may be diarrhea, or it may be heartburn. You understand what I'm saying? But these companies want you to continue to buy their product. That's why fast foods are the last people to tell you anything when something's wrong with their product. The very last. Because it's supposed to be fast. And now if you look at their advertising, one is advertising fresh burger, another is advertising frozen burger. But they don't tell you a frozen burger. You know what they tell you? They're made to order. That's right. You come into McDonald's and you order your burger, we'll give it to you in 5 minutes. And I'm not going to tell you that they bring their burgers in totally frozen, pre-measured and portioned. And then when they get in there, they throw 30, 40, 50 of them on the grill, start flipping them because they're catching that lunch crowd. Then they're starting to separate them so they know what is rare, what is medium, and what is well. There is always a combination of things that are going on in those type of places because they must maintain a rhythm of putting the product out. Will they use certain products in their product to give it a better visual look or to give it a more tastier look or to make it seem more appealing? Absolutely they do. Many of you may not know, but the biggest addictive drug in America is sugar and salt. Absolutely. And guess what? They are addicted. But these corporations will not tell you that. So if you wanted to, there are a million different things we can build alliances about and build them on fact and knowledge because the information is out there. So, getting back to a community. What if you lived in an apartment building? And you know there's about maybe 4 or 5 Section 8ers in there. And you know they're going to be evicted. And you know when they're evicted, chances are it's going to affect your rent. People say, oh, no, that won't happen. Yes, it does. You know why? Because those people have gotten used to getting a certain amount of dollars through that government check every month. And when that check's gone, do you think they're going to be able to adjust and say, oh, well, we'll just let the time take its course? No, they're not. They're seeking other ways in order to get that income. And that's not becoming unbecoming of a business on any level. So once again, you might talk about building alliances so that we can get together with the number of people who live in this apartment building, because we know we're going to leave, and about 8 people are going to leave that were subsidized housing. But that check might have amounted to maybe $4,000 or $5,000 a month. That now it's no longer there. And he has to fill those apartments. And what is that cost? See, these are all different things that they're going to allow to slip right down on the people that are there. That's why they can go to apartment to apartment and say, listen, did you know? Hello, my name is so-and-so. I'm in apartment such and such. Did you know? Because now the news becomes so common that now they're looking out for the same thing that you're looking for out for. Well, I don't want my costs to go up. I don't really want to see these people out in the cold, but in turn, I don't want him to victimize me because that's no longer their form. So alliances can be built on every level. Now, I'm not giving you the solutions to alliance building because each alliance is different. But I am giving you the tools so that you could be able to open that conversation up and say, well, what's going on? Because that is enough for you to determine, is it of your interest or is this eventually going to end up in my doorstep? I was encouraging some women who were on welfare that maybe they ought to seriously put their resources together and every time when they go to the grocery store, buy about $5 of beans or $5 of rice and just sit on it. Just in case that first time comes and they don't have that as a resource, they could still feed their children. Well, you know what? They weren't a stepfather. They were looking at co-ops. Oh, they could use the co-ops for the co-op to take their EBT card. But you understand that the finite process of trying to utilize what you have to expand or make it more personable or purposeful for not only you, but those people who are in a like-minded situation. And I'm going to tell you something. This country is full of places like that. There's a place in Tennessee. Oh, those of you who don't know, Alabama and Tennessee, those are Republican states. Those two states have the largest population of welfare recipients. And guess what? They're by no means black people. Or should I say they are no means people of other colors. They're white people who voted against their interests. But they are willing to live with that. But they're also being victimized by their inability to do exactly what we're talking about. Now, will they come around? Most likely. The reason why they're most likely going to come around is because when their resources run out, they become a danger to their community, too. Because guess what? Although they don't tell you this, Don, Paul, George, they're all talking. Yeah, you know, and, you know, Jim's having some problems up here. Yeah. And understand that if they have a larger population in their community or their state than in yours, their problems magnify. So the purpose of building relationships is not important as much as it's building alliances. We have to get away from the aspect of building relationships based on you knowing people or how you knowing people. We've got to talk ideas. We've got to talk common interests. We got to talk on the level in which we can be understood enough so that if someone is speaking Spanish, that other person that speaks Spanish can speak English too, can convey what we're saying, and vice versa. Because that is what communication is about. And alliance building is relatively easy when you got simple tools. First, never lose your temper when building alliance, especially when open discussion. Because understand what I said now, in this country, they perpetuate fear by your emotion. So therefore, some of them who you think may not be affected by that programming are very much affected by that program. So when you build alliance, you always want to be able to keep an even tone of conversation. And you always want to say things like, well, what do you think? It's because sometimes people get so caught up in the aspect that they are in a circle in which they can view their opinion that they kind of freeze. And that's not going to help building when you talk about using basic logics and strategies and alliances. This often clears, and it clears the air, and it helps you to manage your way through the tough spots and how you forge ahead in spite of some of your differences. These are the purposes that come into play. Because you know what's unique about it is that when you're all on the same page, you all are willing to openly discuss it. That's right. Why? Because you want to hear what other like-minded people are saying. And you want to converse back and forth with them. That's when you put your group together and then you put your mouse, your speakers. Now remember how I said that. I said speakers. These are not leaders. Because they're just like you. They want to be able to converse their point so that the person they're talking to will understand it. And all those like-minded people can come together and say, you know what? We need to represent our issue in a larger form. And some people, they like to be in a position out front. Well, look, let's go to the Capitol. Let's canvass the Capitol one day, and we're going to canvass them about the lack of welfare resources in times of dismantling a budget. Because the government gives and away billions of dollars to corporations. So they got the money. But they don't see your cause in common with theirs. And that's why building alliances is so important. We really want to be able to allow someone I may not know who may share my opinion to speak theirs. So it shows our like-mindedness. All right, this is Brother Davis now. I'm urging you to call. Because when you call, we open up the door so that we can freely discuss and grow, not only as individuals, but preparing ourselves for what we're trying to achieve as a group. And the best part about that there is that way everybody's on the same page. This is Brother Davis at 866-510-9025. So pick up your phones, give me a call now. I'm not going to break. I'm just putting this out there right now because I want to encourage you to call in before the end of the show. There are different things I want you to keep in mind in all the lines. Not everybody has the same intent. You see, in the parable, the chicken, the vulture's chick came down and tried to steal some food from the kitten, and the kitten swatted him. Neither of the mothers ever discussed that, if you listen to the parable. So unforeseen things will come into play against your alliance. But that's when you must be able to have enough ability to listen for your turn to speak. Because sometimes when people get angry, they don't want to hear the truth. That's why patience and emotions under control will allow you to get to a point in which you can bring clarity to the circumstance. Because only clarity is going to keep the alliance strong. Now, had those animals talked, look at the outcome. The mother vulture, might have had an injured chick, but she would have had the rest of her chicks. The mother wildcat could have pulled that cub aside and heard what happened and been able to go back and converse with the mother vulture, and they would both have their family. You understand the importance of being able to come together and converse about something we have in common, where even if we are from different points of view. I've seen people with coming from two different angles still find common ground because of their ability to keep first things first. Never, never in any realm of alliance call names other than the name you know them by. Okay? So if you know this person on the street and his name is Gus, when you get in those realms, you might have to say Mr. Casita. You understand how I said that? Now, when I go to work every day, Gus, we cool and everything, but when we go to the Lions meetings, Gus is going to say, hey, listen, I call you Mr. Davis because I don't want the people in your group to be offended by me being too friendly, and I prefer you to call me Mr. Garcia so that the people in my group will understand there's a mutual respect. See, these are tools. And even down the line, after you've established this, as you come together and you begin to build relationships, if it goes that far, understand, building relationships is not a prerequisite to building alliances. But if it goes that far, then let them gradually see that. You see, they don't know what you're doing at work. They don't know your relationship. All right? And when you're building alliances, you want to just certain ground rules have to be put down. Okay? One of the ground rules I always said that if I had put my group together, one of the ground rules is that your family becomes my family. And I'll protect your family as if it was my own. Because a lot of people, they gravitated to that. In diverse circumstances, let me make that very clear. I'll protect them as if they're my own. Have I seen something going on that I thought was questionable, I would separate the two, and then when everybody got back together, we'd bring it up so everybody's on the same page. You see, this is building alliances. When a person comes in and they have a secret and they're in the group, they have to create value in that secret, but if they start that, they're trying to break up that group. Keep that in mind. Because there should be open and neutral conversation in alliance building. Okay, you might want to come and say, look, we don't bring no weapons in here. Okay, rule one. Rule two, we don't use no vulgarity while we're in the meeting. Okay? Rule three, we'll dress people with respect. And rule four, we will listen to what they have to say before we come together and we start breaking down the points of interest to the what is what's called the most suitable combination for us to pursue. You see, with basic ground rules, everybody's on the same page. You see, one of the things that's wrong with America today, we have people that are bought up from different basic ground rules, okay? And let's take, for instance, Christians had the Ten Commandments in the Bible. The Muslims have the Quran, and they have their it's similar to a commandment, so I don't want to go there. The Buddhists are the same way. But the one thing that is principle in all of them is mutual respect for human life. But in terms of how we interact, it brings into play other things. So if a person has to go to the bathroom 4 or 5 times in a meeting, you don't go to them and say, man, you miss all the interesting, you miss all the topics of discussion because you go to the bathroom. No. You know what you do? You sit back, you take a few notes, and say, you know what, man, I noticed you had to go to the bathroom a couple of times, but that's not neither here nor there. I want to point out to you what you missed. That person will have more respect for you than ever. You're building a relationship that may, you're building an alliance that may turn into a relationship. Even if it doesn't, at least he knows you're being very fair and just about conveying the knowledge of the meeting itself. And understand, whatever you have in common, which is always something mutual, mutually in common in all alliances, you must, those elements that bring and keep these people together must be made clear so that they all understand that they are just as important to the process as they are to us achieving the outcome we pursue. And believe me, there are no exceptions. And when people get to thinking that they are the exception, that is one that you're going to keep an eye on. Because they literally are there to destroy the group. And listen, don't be surprised who they are. Never be surprised who they are. Because sometimes people think they're serving a specific interest. May it be mental, physical, spiritual, or whatever. But what makes the alliance work is that when we can come together and achieve results. And that result might just be having a good meeting so that we could set up our car block so that when we have that meeting that day down at the community meeting, that day down at the Boys Club, and all the communities are represented, we could go in with our points of interest, with our representative, and we don't have to have our whole block there, but maybe 2 or 3 or 4 people from the block. So that when we go back to our block meeting, we can come back with good, concise information from the community meeting. And then from the community meeting, we might go to the city meeting. And from the city meeting, people come back, they bring the information, they take them to the various parts of their community, and they open the discussion in their community meeting so that they'll see what's happening in each stage along the way. And then take that day that the people are going down to the courthouse or the Capitol, and you're off that day, and we're going down to Capitol on a fact-finding and relaying mission. What is a fact-finding and relaying mission? The fact-finding mission is to see how they have resources that can help you in the circumstance that you're in of your alliance, and how you can relay that information down to the branches of the alliance so that everybody can tap into the resources that may be available but is not available in print. Because, you know, there's always something, oh, you know what, you can do this or you can do that. Well, where can I find it? Well, it's not really printed on the public, but you can go to the website. And if you go into Section 4, Paragraph 5, ABCC, and you see this small print out of all this web page, it gives you power. And you leverage that power. And that power may be, we must have a selective spokesman. You said, well, you know, we got that. Yeah, no, but we didn't realize that our selective spokesman can go to the citywide general meeting or the statewide general meeting. You see what I'm saying? That's what knowledge becomes power. Because now you're going to a statewide meeting and you're coming in as 500 people in there, and they represent 15 to 1600 groups that all are like-minded. So you're what you thought was a small alliance actually is an organization. See, that's power. Okay, this is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday. Give us a call after the break.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
All right, we're back. Okay, brothers and sisters, listen, we have got to state the time when we want to move forward. We need you to give us some calls here, so that will help us to be able to open the doors so that we can at least have dialogue. If no one has an issue or a question that they don't think would be this would be a suitable time to put it out there so that they can have a greater understanding of the possibilities of being able to expand up beyond their circumstance with putting that question out there. Because I'm going to tell you something. Where I'm at, down on the farm, my closest neighbor requires me to squint. So I know a lot of these things that I'm telling you from the experience of living in an urban area. And I know the importance of building alliances, even if it was just to do yards. Because you know how people come around and say, you know what, I mow your yard, will you get it? A regular guy to come around and say, look, don't come here every week. But if you see my grass getting high, you go ahead and cut it, drop a note on my door. And that way when I see you, I know and I can say you when I see you. You'd be surprised on how many people started doing that. And it was a simple way of building an alliance for a service. So there's a lot of things we could do, but I need you to get on your phones. I need you to ask that question, or I need you to place your situation for open dialogue, because this radio show is here as a service to you. But when you don't call, it's a monologue. It's me giving you the ideas that have sprung up in me in such a manner that I've organized them enough to convey them to you. But when you call and converse, we hear dialogue. Now we're up a level or two. And the reason why we're up a level or two, because now we're conversing back and forth, which requires the next listener to listen closer to both of us. And the reason being is because we are edifying each other through not only our experiences, but how we are applying ourselves in a given situation to serve the purpose of both. So, my brothers and sisters, this is the last half hour. I want you to understand that we are at a point now where we are going to have to do something in the next week, really. Because Trump is going, he's moving right on the head. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but he's already passing some bills now that literally are going to be detrimental to those people who are not prepared. And the reason why I say that is because The bills that he's passing now, not all of them, are for the benefit of the community. You could tell that by the way he picked his cabinet. Most of those bills are going to benefit them. But through the process of preparation and alliance building, we can at least benefit if we apply ourselves in a manner that we want to achieve more than we can appear to have. Why do I say appear to have? Because people perceive us by the programming placed on us. We had nothing to do with it. You heard it before. Oh, you know, you talk so well. Where are you from? Where am I from? Okay. See, some people could take that as an insult. I used to. Then I began to realize they're programmed too. They don't think that we are as intelligent as we are. And the worst part about that is that it's never conveyed to them that way. If they don't have the opportunity to meet someone like you, who can convey their point of view and why it's so important, and those people that are like-minded can hear you, they're the same people look up and say, you know what, that's my issue. You got my issue. And that's when you smile back and say, yeah, well, you know what, I don't have your issue. We have the same issue. That's what makes us human. Because now we can convey the fact that we have something in common that we didn't even realize we were like-minded about. But now that we do, see, understand how I said that. Now that we do, we can move forward. We can get things done on another level altogether. And the best part about that is that I may not look like you at all. I may not look like you at all. And this happens all over. I have some people in the what they call UK black community. And, you know, they feel like we are the vanguard black people. That's right. Blacks in America, they feel like we are the vanguard of black people. And what we do, literally, they cheer about. Because they've been cracked down so hard and the programming has been pushed up on such a level that literally some of the things we do here, they'll tell you they could never achieve them over there. So when I talk to them, I don't come from that standpoint. I come from the standpoint of why. And the reason why I come from the standpoint of why is because I need them to articulate to me why their mentality feels they can do it there, what we've been able to manage to do over here. And as that did tell me, I realized that, yes, for a longer length of time, they have been victimized by taking a subservient position in every circumstance in the British Parliament. And those people that are even in Parliament will take a subservient position to others in Parliament, knowing that they're of equal status, although they have their difference. And that difference, in most cases, is the color of their skin. Sadly enough, in the 21st century, that is still a dilemma for people of color, because we live in a world that is organized by white nationalists that are predominantly men. Understand how I said that? They're predominantly white men. And the sad part about that is that we are at the stage right now where we have become so victimized by the programming, a lot of many of them, many of us, have just given in. That's right. But I got this old thing. I'm just old school, and I feel like, you know what? As long as I can stand on my feet, I can fight. I may not be physically fighting, but I may be verbally fighting. I may be transcending a circumstance based on how I appear to them. And the reason why I say how I appear to them, because they all seen pictures of me. I am by no means someone who emulates Westernism. And the best part about that is there are some people who walk up to me and just want to converse because of that. And the sad part about it is that they'll ask a question like, so where are other people like you? Well, we're all over. It's just that I don't know all of them. But if you look, you will find them, because now you have some key things to look for now. And they come up to me, you know, what's up with the bracelet? What's up with the wood? What's up with the silver? I tell them. I'm an earth person, so these things are all natural. And they take, literally, they add to my electromagnetic energy. They give my vibration, they lift me up on a higher level in times of diversity. And it's like, well, you know what? I never knew that could happen. Oh, yeah. Some people are telling, yeah, we're batteries, man. We in that sunlight, we just generate every organism in our body. And they look at you all crazy, like, what? But that's the truth. For those of you who don't know, I mean, that is the truth. The sun is the ultimate, should I say, healer. It's the ultimate energy diversification machine. It's the ultimate, you grow by being in the sun like every other plant. Okay, now it's other things required, other attributes, are sure. But until you have that type of knowledge, or someone who can converse in that manner, you don't know. So I say, look, give her read this book, give her read that book. because that way they have a chance to read themselves, get their own revelation, and then when they begin to experience it, it becomes their own testimony. And boom, another transformation, because now they want to know more. Well, if I didn't know about this, what about that? Well, you're going to break some taboos, but you can find out. But the truth is, in building alliance, it can extend to anything and into anything. But we must be prepared to be human in all of our negotiation. Now, keep coming back to being human, because that is a way that you can converse without being emotional. So for you people who think that program about people of color being emotional, that's wrong. You see, people of color have only found out all of that process because they haven't been exposed to the true process. And the true process is that you can control your emotions. You don't have to control you. I know it doesn't sound like it's a great deal of wisdom, but it's true. So until you learn that you're going to take that control back, you're going to be emotional. But when you take that control back, you're going to realize, you know, I didn't have to do that. No, you didn't. Same way with building alliance. When you begin to go out here and build alliances, you'll be able to see how you can make things work, or how you can find the people who want you to achieve the same thing to make that thing work. And believe me, it's easy. And the reason why it becomes easy is because now you're looking for like-minded things. And when you look for like-minded things, you find like-minded people. I found people in the strangest places. Same thing, thought process was going through my mind at that time about a given issue was going through theirs. And it's just might have just started talking. I'm telling you that. Sometimes we just start talking with conversation and don't even know each other's name. My wife will walk up and say, oh, it's your little first year, and then she might make a comment, and then she'll say, before we leave, you know each other. Well, no, we just got to start talking. And then we introduce each other. So, you see what I'm saying? So it works a lot of different ways. And that's why we carry a small information card. It has our name, our number on it. On the back, it has things to tell you about food and that sort of thing and what to look for. And that way you can edify people in the circumstance in which they are already knowledgeable of already. But you're helping them, and they're helping you. So when you build that alliance, you want to make sure the three things. One, you're respectful towards each other. Two, you have that thing in common that you both want to achieve. Three, you always talk with clarity. And four, be prepared to help. A lot of people come together and we want to build alliance, but they don't want to do no work. Absolutely. Oh, well, you know what? We need to do this. Well, I'll tell you what, I got to work tomorrow. Okay, what about Saturday? Saturday, that's a domestic day. I got to take my wife grocery shopping, then we do laundry, blah, blah, blah. You can always find an excuse. But when you say, I can be there, and you come there prepared to sit down, put some issues on the table, openly discuss them, I always like to say, look, in our closed meetings, no cigarette smoking. And the reason being is because it affects everybody in here. And there may be only one person, two people to have it. So I like to put that out there right away. And some people can be offended, but offense is the choice. Now I tell them, you know, God don't mean to offend you, but if you decide that you're going to go out and smoke at this particular time, I'll take some notes about what we discussed, and when you get back, you can plan it over. You see, there's always a way to hold out that olive branch. Just don't get your hand cut off because you want to hold out a branch. Because some people are like that. A perfect example is the parable. Understand? In the parable, remember the chick came down, messed with the kitten food? See, the chick thought it could do that because it could fly, but it didn't know how fast the kitten was. Things come into play. Always remember what you're trying to achieve, what you are trying to be purposeful about. And that should be why you all come together. Never say, come into a meeting and say, okay, this is off the table. No, nothing's off the table. We don't want a vulgarity. We're going to keep the ground rules, and let's have some topic discussion. You'll be surprised how many times you come out someplace and people say, you know what? Well, before next meeting, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. That way, when we come to the meeting, I can present that. And that might have been the issue that they had. That might have been the fact that, well, look, we don't know what the guidelines is and what this process. Well, let me go to City Hall and do a little research, see what the parameters are, or what we can do as an organized group. Well, even though we're not yet, at least let's see what's out there. You never know. And always keep in mind this. Never harass the laborers in the vineyard, because they're doing the work that needs to be done. Sometimes the laborers in the vineyard don't need to be bothered at all. You know them. They're at their meetings regularly. They're doing what they can to move things on. They're trying to keep everything calm so that we can get some positive results after the meeting. You know who they are. And these are the type of people that you can build on. So keep in mind that when you come across them, identify them. And if you can, as an organization, if you can, give them a shout out every 6 months or so. Let them know you appreciate what they're doing. And if they want to move to the forefront of a specific presentation and you know that they've been doing the due diligence on that, well, so be it. Because since they've been doing the due diligence on it, they can converse about it better than everyone else in the group. And it's still functional for the alliance, because literally she's going to be explaining something from a specific perspective that deals with what the alliance is trying to achieve. So, one of the things I'm always point out is that as long as you have air in your lung, you can do something. Don't make a difference how minute you think it is. You can help initiate change. It's part of your responsibility. See, life is not going to get better unless we do the things to make it better. Not purpose myself, that in trying to break these chains of nationalism, or should I say white nationalism, I'm going to correlate, connect, and help whatever group is out there in the forefront trying to achieve the same thing. Believe me, when Brother Ren connected with me and ran his idea by me, that was right up the alley of my thought process. And here we are several years later. So don't think that you're coming from a very small perspective, because you're not. I don't know if I've ever told you, but let me give you a quick parable. I know I said this one show maybe a year or two ago about a person who called and said, "But Brother Davis, I mean, I just feel like I'm just so small." I said, "Let me explain something to you. You ever hear the parable about the lion and the mouse? See, what is so important about that parable is the mouse was so small that when the lion roared, everybody was running. Why were they running? Because they were scared of the lion because of the roar. And because this mouse went up to the lion, and everybody told him, you know, if you go to that lion will eat you. That mouse went up to the lion and said, "Excuse me, Mr. Lion. I see you roaring, but I don't see you doing anything." And the lion looked at the mouse and said, "What?" Because he was shocked. So the lion conveyed to the mouse what his problem was. He had a thorn in his paw that he could not get out because he could not reach it. And the mouse looked up and said, "Oh, well, I can reach it." And the lion looked and he said, "Oh, if you can get this thorn out of my paw, I would be ever so grateful. And you will be my friend for life." Well, the mouse walked over to his paw. You know, he got those long, long nails on a lion.
and the mouse looked up, and he could see where the thorn was stuck right between the nail and the skin. And he said to himself, yeah, I guess that would be tender. And he said, well, let me try to see if I can pull it out. And that mouse crawled under there, and he told the lion, lift your paw, lift your paw. So the lion lifted his paw up, and he pulled, and then thorn came out. Now, the lion, the king of beasts, who was making transition in the jungle with just a roar, lifted this mouse up and put him on his shoulder, and he announced to all those who was watching that this mouse was protected by him, and that whenever he needed, the lion wanted to make sure that those who seen him in this position will always see him in that position. But needless to say, everybody else's fear gave the mouse strength. And that's what I'm saying to you. Don't judge yourself by your circumstances. Judge yourself by your strength. Some of the old guys in my family used to have this saying, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. You remember these things, you will find that regardless of what your circumstance is before you, you can find a solution. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday talking about building alliances. And I always like to leave some time at the end of the show for Brother Dave to come in. I was inquiring for you to give me whatever questions that you have. I hope that I've been of service to you. I did mention that there is a book on building alliances at Amazon. And you go to it, Amazon.com, and you look under Building Alliances as a resource, as essential tools, it is there for you. You can always take that information as a manual and build on from there. So, Brother Dave, this is Brother Davis coming back and bringing it back to you, brother.
Man, Brother Davis, thank you so much. Another great, great show. You know, let me just say this about what Brother Davis was really conveying to all of us and the power of alliances. We got to get ready to get out of here because the next show, New Abolitionist Radio, is coming on right after this. The system itself is based off alliances of individuals that actually have an agreement to uphold the system through their alliance. That's how powerful it is. We are actually, you're either building alliances or you may be subject to other people that are building alliances that may not be in your best interest. So it's always in your best interest to establish the necessary alliances for your agenda and your purpose. Well said, Brother Davis, as always. Love you so much. Give my regards to Sister Davis, everyone. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace. Out.